fundamental factor about human beings, or manifest beings altogether, is that living beings are suffering from the limitations of their own experience. And this body-mind that you're currently addressing, or the experience associated with it at the present time, is just the tip of the iceberg of reality, to use a conventional phrase. You're hardly notice anything, hardly noticing anything about what's really going on. You sit in meditation and you have some thoughts or images and so forth, or you go to bed at night and you have some dreams and so on. Well, these are, to the degree you notice or remember them, conscious, let us say, you're aware of them. But what about all the rest that you're not aware of? The invisible realm of mind in which the thoughts you are aware of are arising. You're not aware of its total content or possibility. You're aware of the part that appears. The tip of the iceberg sticks out the top of the water. You're not aware of all the rest of it that's underwater there. This is what I mean when I say everyone is suffering from the limitations of their own experience. You have whatever experience you do notice. You're not aware of the rest of it, and you're trying to make life and philosophy and everything else out of this little specimen of experience that you are aware of. Whereas, and other people have different images, different kinds of experience and so forth, but it's still just a little piece of the totality. Instead of making philosophy out of that little piece of the totality, you must understand it and transcend it. And then perhaps more of this iceberg will show itself. And you'll have to deal with that. The more you experience, the more you have to transcend. In other words, experience is not what's enlightening you. Experience is what is limiting you. Experience is your limitation. All experience is limitation. All knowledge is limitation. The process of ultimate realization is a matter of directly transcending limitation. And there is no end to it. No end to the number of limitations you can realize by activating attention, waking, dreaming, or sleeping. It's all limitations. And whatever you do become aware of is just a fraction of the totality that is nonetheless always active. The invisible totality is presently active, and you're only aware of that little bit of experiencing that appears to you presently. And on that basis, you want to be satisfied. You want to make a description of reality. You want to make a destiny, you see. The great process is a matter of really observing yourself and coming to an understanding of this. Submission to experience, submission to limitation. And becoming capable of transcending it, to realize that within which even the whole is arising. Part of the darkness of these times is that people will take all kinds of ordinary others very seriously, and will not address any longer the spiritual heroes. Are immunized against them. Immunized against the adept culture. The people to be taken seriously are scientists and scholars and such, you see. People who are running around on that tip of the iceberg all the time, making notes, you see. But they don't know anything about the rest of the iceberg. They haven't understood that all of conditional existence that is being observed is being moved and determined by processes that are invisible and unnoticed. Your entire life, everything that you do, feel, think, say, and so forth, is being moved by an invisible and unnoticed dimension of existence. the other part, the big part of the iceberg. And you, through the action of attention, are noticing just that little fraction of reality that you call your experience. Therefore, on the basis, you see, on the basis of your experience, you want to make a picture of life, make a philosophy, and so forth, come to a great determination of the nature of existence. You think you're being very honest in doing so, but if you were truly honest, you would acknowledge that your experience is minute and is no basis for an ultimate philosophy. Psychophysical experience is no basis for an ultimate description of reality. The invisible dimension of existence is the primary domain of reality. And therefore, the matter of the realization of truth or real life is a matter of devotion to that which is invisible, that which is greater than one's experience. How does one become devoted to that which is greater than one's experience? By self-understanding and by direct transmission. This is how. Now, having enjoyed such gifts, one must be responsible for them. Otherwise, one is constantly being limited by conditions arising. Once the arms are realized, one must enforce them. One must use them. Because thereafter, as before, all that is arising is limitation. It's a mirage, an illusion that's covering the invisible. For instance, I've made this point a number of times in the past. You're all sitting in this room, and if we could put a camera behind your eyes right now and take a snapshot of the room as you are seeing it, we put those pictures up on the wall here, we'd have about 30 or so different pictures, right? Of the same room. And we put up those 30 or so pictures. Each of those pictures is an image of this room from a particular point of view, a particular locus in time and space. And those 30 pictures would not account for all of the points in space in this room. We wouldn't have a picture taken from every such point if we just took a photograph through the eyes of each of those of you in this room, would we? Well, what does the room look like? As you are perceiving it from that particular location, not only in space but in time, or as it appears from every possible point of view. See, the room exists right now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You are perceiving it from a particular point of view, but at the same time that point of view is dictating that you see it just in part. The room at that very moment still exists. The room itself exists as it would be perceived from every point of view. All points of view taken together, all possible photographs. That means every locus in space, first of all, would have to be a point from which a photograph were taken 360 degrees in all directions. But it would also have to be taken not only from every point in space, but from every point in time. Otherwise, how could this particular configuration be observed in its completeness? It's not only what it is from a particular point of view, you see, and every point of view is space-time located. It's what it is regardless of point of view. The room and everything that is and always already exists just as it is, and point of view has nothing to do with what it is. Point of view is a limitation on what it is. Well, every one of you is a point of view, you see, and not any one of you is seeing this room as it is. Or anything that you perceive. You never see anything as it is. That's the tip of the iceberg, you see. You only see from point of view. You see a portion. You are suffering from the limitations of your own experience, always. But if you examine yourself and see that things like this are true, you see, come to an understanding of yourself, then you stop being determined, existence itself stops being determined by that point of view. And instead, that point of view begins to submit itself to that which is greater than itself. See, that's a development of self-understanding. And once self-understanding comes to a point, it becomes, by that movement beyond itself, able to receive a great impulse, a great transmission, a direct revelation of that which transcends point of view. That's the transmission in satsang, you see? The transmission of the reality that transcends point of view. That's precisely what it is. Reality as it is directly communicated.